Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. We have a brother who has expressed his desire to confess the Lord in believers' baptism this evening. Not false religion's baptism. Not man's works baptism, but believers' baptism. Believer. Believer in. Believer on. Trusting in. Hoping in. Looking to. It's what believers do. They trust in. They hear the promise and they trust in it and they hope in it and they look to it and they believe it. They're caused to believe it. Believers' baptism. When we enter into the observance of this ordinance, we're confessing something. That's what we're doing. We are confessing something. And we're confessing it in the way that our Lord commanded us to confess it. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? It's because this is how our Lord commanded us to confess. And what I want us to look at for our message tonight is, what exactly are we confessing? When we do this, what exactly are we confessing? We're going to look at a Psalm of David together. And through this psalm, we're going to look at the heart confession of a believer's salvation. The heart confession of a child of God's salvation. Baptism is not what saves us. Water is not what saves us, but water baptism is a confession of what saved us, and it's a beautiful confession. It is such a beautiful confession. For God's people, this is a precious announcement. This is a declaration. Our Lord knows what He's done for us. This is a confession to God. It's a confession to God's people. This is an open declaration of union with God, the true and living God, and union with God's people in and because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what believers' baptism is. It's a confession of union with God and His people because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The precious blood of the Lamb. The precious blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? I have so many of them. You have so many of them. We have so many of them. They just keep piling up day after day. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of the Lamb of God. The precious blood of God's Lamb. I just adore this. I adore this. In declaring the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and in declaring the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet Zechariah said, "And in that day, a fountain shall be opened." In that day, a fountain shall be opened. Oh, the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Every sinner who God the Father plunges beneath that flood will cry, "Unto Him that loved me and washed me from my sins in His own blood, to Him be glory." To Him be glory for what He has done for me. forever and ever. Amen. That's what we're confessing. To Him be all the glory for this great salvation that He has wrought for me. We're not confessing that we are trying to complete our salvation. We are not confessing, well, I want to go ahead and complete my salvation. We're not confessing that at all. We are confessing the fact that Christ already has completed our salvation. That's what we're confessing. Christ has already done it. He has completed our cleansing. He has completed our purifying. Christ did it. Everything that had to be done, everything that had to happen to us in order for God to accept us, Christ did it. He accomplished it. He washed us and saved us in His own blood. So it's not baptism that saves us. It's not water that saves us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're confessing. That's what we're confessing. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what David confessed in Psalm 32. He confessed the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at this, let's notice that everything he says here in the first five verses is past tense. And I just adore this. I was searching for what our text would be for the message for tonight, for this occasion. And when I ran across that, my heart just rejoiced within me. I thought, this is every believer's confession right here. Every believer's confession. Our confession is a past tense confession, a decision made a long time ago, not by me. Our confession is a work finished a long time ago, not by me. Our confession is a standing before God that was secured a long time ago, not by me. I was just told about it and caused to believe it. Isn't that our confession? I was just told about it and caused to believe it. So let's see if we can enter into this with David. Verse 1, he said, blessed. Past tense. Already blessed, not will be. Already is, are, am, whatever the right word is right there. Already blessed. Already blessed. We're so blessed. I'd love to just stay right there and ponder this for a while. We're so blessed. I was talking to Ronnie after the service this morning. We were talking about this, and I showed him where to go and how we do this and all of that. And when we were done walking out, he said, I'm excited. I said, me too. Not because of Kingsport City tap water. That's what we talked about. I'm not excited about Kingsport City tap water. I've already been in that today. I'm excited over what this represents. This represents the blessing from God Almighty. This is the blessing from God Almighty. We're such a blessed people. Verse 1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Can we just dwell on that for a second? Forgiven. Forgiven. Not will be. All of my sin and my transgression already is. It already is forgiven, totally forgiven. Every wrong I've ever done Every sin against God in this flesh I've ever committed, all of my sin, all of my transgression is forgiven. Totally forgiven. We do not get into the pool of water baptism so that our sins can be forgiven. We get into the pool of water baptism to confess they already are. Thank God they already are. Verse 1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Oh, you talk about a blessed man. Covered in the blood, just completely covered, just poured blood all over all of it. Verse 2 says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That word imputeth means to assess something and to call it like it is. To say this is the current condition of a thing. And you want to know what a blessed man is? It's the man who stands before God Almighty, and after assessing that man in Christ, covered in Christ, God imputes, he acknowledges there's not any sin there. It's been removed. It's been dealt with. It's been taken away. That's a blessed man. That's a blessed woman. Truly. We can't enter into how blessed that is. We're going to one day. But we can't enter into what a blessing that is. Blessed is the man, verse 2, unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That means God has revealed the truth to the man, and he is honest to God concerning himself. And he is honest to himself concerning God. There's no guile involved, and there's no trickery involved. Honest before God. Honest before God. That's a blessed man. That is a blessed woman. Now, David recalls how this blessing came to him, okay? He said, this is how it happened. Look with me at verse 3. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He said, there was a time in my life when I tried to conceal my sin. I tried to hide my sin. I tried to ignore my sin. Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried to ignore your sin? Well, let me just delete that. We'll just forget about that and move on. He said, there was a time in my life when I tried to believe that it wasn't really there. And it killed me. It just ate at me. Ate away at me. Ate a hole in me. Just the horror of it haunted me. Verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. The thought of your judgment crushed me. Your hand was heavy on me. The burden was heavy. The thought of enduring the punishment for what I've brought on myself. The thought of your vengeance being poured out on me. I couldn't bear it. So verse 5, he said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. You know, that's what we're confessing in this. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I deserve to die. Going down under that water, when we go down under that water, it represents death and burial. That's what it represents. And what we're saying is, that's what I deserve. I am a sinner and I deserve to die for my sins. All of this sin in my flesh, the wages of sin is death. I acknowledge that. This life of rebellion, I've lived against God. I acknowledge that. And that's what I deserve. But thank God. Thank God. This is what we confess, all right? Thank God there was forgiveness with Him. Thank God there was forgiveness with Him. There was mercy to be had. There was a redemption for me. Sometimes I get a hold of these things. I say them over and over again, and then every now and then I get a hold of it. There was a redemption for me. I ruined everything, but there was mercy. There was forgiveness. There was redemption. A ransom was paid. A ransom was paid. Verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. God's people don't do that. They confess. I'm worse than you know, and I'm worse than I know. I don't try to hide any of it. I acknowledge my sin unto me, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You forgave it. That's what we're confessing. Thank God you forgave it. You forgave me. He forgave me. Look with me at Psalm 51. This is David after God revealed a great sin to him. Psalm 51, verse 1, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. With what? Blood. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. It is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, whatever you do with me is good and right. You're just in doing it. If you judge me in my sin, amen. Verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That means sin is what I am. Not just what I do, it's what I am. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know Christ, wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. That's what they dipped in the blood and sprinkled on the mercy seat. They took that hyssop, they dipped it in the blood of the slain lamb, and they just poured it on the mercy seat. He said, you do that to me. You purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. It's the only hope I have. That's the only hope I have. Against thee have I done this. But if you, the one I've offended, will wash me in your blood, I'll be whiter than snow. In Psalm 32, David said, I acknowledge my sin to you. I confess my transgression to you. And thank God you forgave me. That's what we're confessing. Forgiveness in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want to tell everybody. He forgave me. That's what I want to tell everybody. As I try to witness this glorious gospel to people, He forgave me. Go tell how great things the Lord has done for you, okay? He forgave me. Thank God. Go with me back to Psalm 32, verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Does it not honestly bless your heart and bring great thanks to you that that time is still right now? You hear all these stories, Noah's day is over. Okay, God shut the door. We could have heard a story about an ark that was built, and had we been alive back then and could have got on it, we would have been saved. But God shut the door and judgment came, and that was it. God's grace was here while the apostles were still alive. As you know, they had those miracles, but now they're all gone and that time is over. Does it not thrill your soul to know that the time of mercy, the time of grace, the time of love is right now? Right now. It's just in time. I need it right now. When is the time of mercy? Right now. Great. I need it right now. Verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Christ came to this earth to be the substitute for his people. And as our substitute, he stood for us. He stood in the stead of us as us. He stood there for us as us. And he bore the flood when he said, when those floods come, when that flood comes pouring, the great waters, he bore for us the flood of everything that we deserved to receive from God. If he just hurled all the judgment, all the wrath, everything that we deserved to receive from God, a tidal wave of condemnation. Christ stood there and bore it for us. And because he bore it for us, we don't have to bear any of it. Verse 7 says, thou art my hiding place. You know, that's what we're confessing in this. Thou art my hiding place. Hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and he covers me there with his hand. Verse 7 says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. When we observe this ordinance, we are confessing, I'm hiding in him. I died in him. I was buried in him. I arose in him. I live in him. I move and have my being in him. I am spotless in him. I am holy in him. I am accepted by God in him. I am loved by God in him. Everything I have it in him. Everything I owe it to him. This is what we're confessing when we get into the poem. Him, 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 him. All the glory goes to him. Salvation's of the Lord. To every soul that God reveals that to, this is the Lord speaking to that soul. Verse 8. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my hand. And does he not do that for all of his people? He brings all of them to a knowledge of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, he said, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto me." He said, don't resist. Don't even try to resist. This is irresistible grace. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will teach you. I will call you. Verse 10, he said, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." Mercy, that's what we're confessing in this. Mercy. God's mercy, the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ has compassed me about. So verse 11 says, "Be glad in the Lord." That's what we're confessing. I'm glad in the Lord. Thank God. I'm saved in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." This is a confession of union with Christ. Our Lord confessed His union with us in His baptism. He joined Himself to our sin, and because of that, we are joined to His righteousness. And we thank God for that joining. We thank God for that union, and we want everybody to know this is why we do this. We want everybody to know. We want everyone to know our joy, our rejoicing, our thankfulness to God for what He's done for us. Over in Acts chapter 8, if you'll turn with me there, I'll close with this. Acts chapter 8. Verse 26, it says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Our dear brother called me on the phone a few weeks ago, and we had some small talk. And then he said, "I want to talk to you about something." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "I've been thinking about baptism for a while." And he said, "I can't stop thinking about it." And he said, "I just wanted to talk to you about it." And in many words, we talked for a long time, but in many words I said, "You know that baptism is not salvation." And he said, "I know that. But," he said, "it's been on my heart to do it, and I can't get it off of my heart." And he said, "I believe this." He said, "The Lord has revealed some things to him." And he said, "I want to be identified with this God and this message and these people." And my heart leaped within me. Because I do too. I do too. This is life. This is the goal of life for a child of God. And we both thank the Lord for the brotherhood that he has given us in Christ. And that's what this is. There's nothing special about what's about to happen. This is crying at the top of your lungs in the way God commanded. I love you. I love God. I love salvation. I love the blood. And we're family in this. We're made to be family. And I told him it'd be my honor to baptize him. So, Brother, you go on back. Brother Eddie, you come on up. Lead us in a hymn. And we'll go down into the water together.